Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
Yesterday, I didn't realize I hadn't fully transitioned to the South. I thought I had put a period on that. I mean, we sold everything. We bought a house. We started a studio. We've all new friends, new groups. I mean, we have immersed ourselves into this area, and we are just as deeply rooted as you can get. But I was unaware. Yesterday, there was one thing missing from my life in my transition to the South, and that was eating at Waffle House. Now, some of you are so surprised that I've lived here for 4.5 years and I've not gone to Waffle House. I'm just going to tell you what was going on inside. It kind of got to the point that I was kind of prideful about, like, I think I'm going to spend the rest of my life here and never eat at Waffle House just to say I never ate there. I know. I'm sorry. I'm going to see how long I can hold out. Well, our dear friend Erin Gillum, many of you know her, and she was in the last gathering at the beginning of the year, January 1st, 2025. She posted a New Year's resolution, and that was, I want to take Eric and Candace to Waffle House. So, the reason why we exist is to fulfill others' dreams. So we were taken to Waffle House yesterday morning. Now, I heard that Tab was a part of deciding which Waffle House we should go to. Because there's a delicate balance of how you experience Waffle House. And apparently there's some very interesting ones, and then there's some, they're not really Waffle House, they're just too nice and clean. I'm learning a lot about this. And I was told the best Waffle House experience is when the people cooking your food are arguing and there's a physical altercation. Is that true? Is that what I'm gathering? It's true. Okay, so I can't wait to experience that. That did not happen yesterday. It was Saturday morning. People were happy. So I think I'm going to go like at midnight. Yes. I'm told midnight is where there's physical, two in the morning. Okay, everybody's holding up two. All right, so two in the morning, there's physical altercation and fights in the kitchen. And what's great is you watch them. They're right there. They're not in a back room. So anyways, that's going to happen. My daughters love Waffle House, and we're all going to be together at Thanksgiving. And 2 a.m, girls, let's go. I want to see a fight. Anyway, I got the all-star breakfast, blueberry waffles, and then I got hash browns with gravy. Now, I love gravy and biscuits and gravy, so I gravitated toward that. And you might wonder, what did I think of it? Honestly, it was actually pretty good. It was better than expected. I just had no expectations. I'm not sure what to experience. And it was great. We had a great time. And what I love, though, is how small the tables are and how many plates they give you. Like, my breakfast was 3 plates. And there's 6 of us sitting at this small table. So, but we made it work. You eat and you stack it. So we had a great time. How many have never been to Waffle House? Oh, my goodness. Look at that. All right. How many of you in the next week will go to Waffle House just that you've never been? Dee's going. Okay. Only Dee raised her hand. So anyway, I have good things to say about Waffle House. The waffle, I mean, when you say Waffle House, you should definitely be making good waffles. And so they were good, huh, Candace? Yeah, they were real good. I was impressed with the gravy. Like, you can really mess up on gravy. But they didn't. It was good. I'm now going to turn to the Bible because we need to move on. I can feel pressure over here. No, but in all seriousness, it was wonderful. So now I think I have fully transitioned to the South. All right. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you who were last week, last Sunday? Okay, so a bunch of you, we talked about a talk called The Intrusive Thoughts. And we're going to continue that today. And if you weren't here last week, it's on the podcast. They are kind of part one. Today is part two. They are standalones as well, but there is some overlap. And so some of what I share today is going to be built upon what we kind of laid out last week. And we kind of unpacked the reality of we all experience thought that come uninvited, but yet they feel like they demand all of our attention. And that's part of being human, is this whole reality of thought that are constantly coming at us. And it's one of those parts of us that if we don't, in some capacity, understand or how to grasp it or how to navigate it or how to discern it, it can be one of those things that can eventually take over your life, and you can develop really unhealthy patterns. You can develop thought processes that become so normal, but they're so abusive. They're so destructive. And I know if I were to ask anybody in this room, how many of you want to have destructive thoughts? I don't think anybody would raise their hand. But yeah, I think we'd be surprised at how many thoughts that we have that are actually destructive. We just don't know what to do with them until they become normal. So we've now opened up the can of worms, if you will, last week, and we're going to continue it today around thought, the stuff that goes through our mind on a daily basis. And unfortunately, a lot of minutes of the day, we're just navigating so on. And last week, we spent some time laying a foundation that some of these thoughts are not from us. They are from the environment we're in. They are in the culture we're in, the spaces we're in. Some of them are demonic, and then some of them are inspired by God. And then some of them are just our life experience. And so we've had this interesting melting pot in this space that we call our brain, our mind. And we're going to continue that today. Every day, thousands of thoughts pass through our minds. Every day. And guess what? We have thousands of opportunities every day to partner, to agree or not to agree with these thoughts. And so you might wonder why you feel exhausted sometimes. It's because your brain is working really hard to agree with them, not agree with them, or what to actually do with these thoughts. The best metaphor that I could come up with is thoughts are a lot like planes flying overhead. You can't stop the planes from flying overhead, but you and I get to decide which ones land and unload their cargo. That's a beautiful metaphor to understand. What's fascinating is the human mind is the only arena in all of creation where heaven, hell, and earth meet. The only arena in the entire existence of creation where heaven, hell, and earth, which also can be understood as the human experience. It all converges. This is why I'm so intrigued with our actual brain, our actual mind. It's one of the most phenomenal creations God has ever created. But yet heaven's demanding your attention and agreement. Hell wants your agreement, and guess what? Our life experiences are also looking for our agreement. So I don't know about you, but I want to have a mind that is being renewed as I get older and as I experience more life. Did anybody else want to experience a mind that's being renewed? Good. I'm glad you're in the right place. So only humans, we have the capacity to think eternal thoughts, but we live in a temporary or temporal body. While we're being influenced by human experience, while we're being influenced by the Spirit of God, and while being influenced by the demonic. And that's very rare. Animals are not struggling with thoughts of agreeing with lies and truth. They're just purely instinct. But you and I, we're different. We have a decision to make to partner with these things or to not partner with them. I realize this conversation is so multifaceted. And depending on who you're talking to, and I recognize in this room, we have everyone may be in a different spot in regards to what's going on in their mind and how much of it's spiritual and how much of it is psychological and how much of it is more chemical. And I understand there's different philosophies, and what I don't want to do today is try to favor one or the other, but I want us to embrace the possibility, and this is where I'm at, embrace the reality of that it is spiritual, it is physical, and it is mental. All these dimensions are actually working all at the same time. And we are promised to have a sound mind. The Bible talked about you and I having the mind of Christ, which is a beautiful, sound, powerful way of thinking. And so I want to continue this journey with us today. If you have your Bibles, why don't you get them open to two locations. First one we're going to read is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And then after we're done with that, we're going to jump over to Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 20. So let's start in Romans 12, 2. I want to hone in on these two passages because these two passages are often and frequently used on this topic of renewing of the mind or mind renewal. So I thought it'd be good to hone in on these two, and then we'll just kind of unpack it. Paul actually introduces two different dimensions or two different angles on the same conversation of mind renewal. And I would like to propose to you these two different angles are essential. They actually are partnership. They collaborate together. They're not separate. They actually work together. So let's start by reading Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Are you guys with me today? All right, here we go. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's read it one more time. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's stop right there. I want to hone in on the phrase, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Today, I don't have enough time necessarily to go through the entire verse, but I'm just going to pull this phrase out, the renewing, transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the original Greek language and some of the meanings and definitions that Paul is addressing here. Now, the word transform actually means to change form or to be transfigured. It's the same Greek word that is used to describe Jesus when he's on the mountain with his disciples, three disciples, and he gets transfigured. It's the same word, to change form and to be transformed. It implies an inner transformation that is seen and felt on the outside. That's what the word transformed means in this. Now, the word renewing here specifically, the Greek word that is used, is the word, it means renewal, renovation, and making new again. So instead of it being completely gotten rid of and something brand new is created out of nothing, the word renewing here is a remodel. It's a renovation. It is taking what exists and renewing it. That's the idea of being transformed by a remodel of the mind. Now, the word mind here is actually your understanding and your perception. So the Greek word here, your understanding and your perception, it's your ability to spiritually discern. So this is the Greek word that are used here. And when you put these together, it basically the renewal of your ability to perceive. This is what Paul is talking about in Romans 12. There's the renewing of the mind. It renews your ability, changes your ability to actually discern and perceive what's going on, specifically when it comes to mind and your thoughts. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. And we're going to unpack the words, almost a very similar word in the same in this passage. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The phrase I want to pull out is, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, you'll notice the word renewed is used in Romans passage, and it's also used in this passage. What's important to understand is sometimes the English language is not able to distinguish the difference between the two. So that's why it's important to go look at the original language and look what Paul, and Paul is using the same word in the English language. For us, it's English, but for him, it's actually two different perspectives on what renewing or renewal actually looks like. They don't compete. They actually work together. So let's take a look at this, some of the original framework. To be renewed, to be made new again, to grow fresh, it implies a continual process of renewal that happens to you as you cooperate with it. So we want you to grasp first, there's actually an invitation to be renewed. It's up to you to cooperate with it. I would propose to you, there's never not an opportunity, there's never not an invitation to move into mind renewal. I would actually take it even a step farther. Every thought that you have is an invitation to renew your mind. So we have no place to say, we have nothing to participate with. No, there's always an invitation to have your mind renewed. Every thought, especially thoughts that do not originate from God, those are all invitations. Okay, I want to be brought into a process. So the first thing to understand is that Paul is saying there is a mind renewal. There's renewing of the mind, but it's your decision to participate and to cooperate with it. Does that make sense? Okay, let's continue. Not a one-time transformation, but an ongoing transformation. This one's huge because I run into a lot of people that are continually growing in their frustration of how come I'm not experiencing transformation. Part of our internal definition, you may not realize this, but part of your internal definition of transformation is a one moment that fixes everything. So this is why oftentimes, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? Will you do this? And sometimes our expectation is there's going to be a moment where everything is changed. I would propose there's going to be a moment where you're set on the right course. So I think some of us need to adjust our expectations to it being one moment and embrace the idea that it's an ongoing process of transformation. This is why Paul says in this passage, put off your old self and put on your new self. It is a process of putting off your old self and putting on your new self. So this is important to recognize when we look at this verse. Now let's go down to the Spirit. How Paul defines the Spirit in this passage, it means sphere or a domain or a space. Another word, a realm. So Paul is referring to this space, and interesting, he's a spirit of the mind. Now, some scholars, a lot of scholars believe it's a dual nuance. The usage of the word spirit is between the human spirit and the Holy Spirit. This is important, so let's break this down. What are we talking about here? We're talking about essentially your conscious. Conscious is a modern word for the heart or the spirit of the mind. The word conscious, isn't it interesting? Right now, you have the ability to observe thoughts that are going through your head. It's the space of which thoughts are happening. You're able to go, oh, this thought has fear. This thought had joy. This thought had angst. This one, I don't know where that came from. That's your ability to look at this space of thought. That's your conscious. So what Paul is referring to, he's saying, in my opinion, he's saying that space of conscious is where the Holy Spirit meets you. It's in the space where your human spirit begins to mesh with his spirit. And obviously the idea is that his spirit renews your spirit. Are you guys with me? This is important because what I want you to understand, the metaphor that Paul is using, the Greek words for the renewing in Romans, is more of a construction metaphor. But the metaphor that Paul is using when he talked about renewing in the Ephesians passage, it's atmospheric renewal. So let's break it down a little farther. Now, sometimes what we're told, you need to have good thoughts. Make sure your thoughts are good and pure and holy. So we work hard. I'm not going to think those thoughts. I'm going to think these thoughts. The challenge that we run into sometimes is we spend our entire time forcing ourselves to have good thoughts. What Paul is saying, he's saying that's important, but this passage in Ephesians, he's taking a step back and he's saying, let your atmosphere of thought be renewed by the Spirit, so the natural thoughts out of that are truth. It's the result of an atmosphere. Another way I can try to explain it is the culture of your mind will produce those kinds of thoughts. If the atmosphere, the wind that determines and influences your sphere or your mind is rooted in angst, anxiety, fear, lies, your thought out of that will resonate with that frequency of that atmosphere. But when you let the Spirit of God renew the space in your mind called conscience, then guess what? The thoughts coming out of that will resonate with his spirit. Okay, we're going to keep going. I got to keep laying this thing out for you. So when he talked about the Spirit, he's actually meaning a sphere. It's a realm. And it's the idea of the human spirit and the Holy Spirit where they meet. What I propose is your conscious. Now, of the mind and understanding, it's the spirit that belongs to or governs your mind, which is the human spirit. Now, let's keep moving down. It's the idea to be continually made new in the spiritual atmosphere of your consciousness. When we talk about mind renewal, I don't want you to only think, I need to have good thoughts. I just need to not think that and think this. That's important. And there's a place for that. But what I want you to get today specifically is learning how to invite the spirit into your conscious and say, change the atmosphere in here. Make this atmosphere of thinking like you. Because I know out of that, thoughts that resonate with that frequency are going to happen versus I'm just forcing myself to think good thoughts. Big difference. Paul's choice of renewed in Ephesians is different than the word renewing in Romans. In Romans, it's renovation, it's rebuilding of structure, it's a construction metaphor. In Ephesians, it's refreshing, it's a continuous vitality, and it's atmospheric, meaning it's an environment of which thoughts come from. In the Greek, Paul is saying, be made new in the wind of your mind. Be made new in the wind of your mind, not just thoughts. In other words, let the Spirit of God renew the wind inside your thinking. It's not just new thought. It's a new climate of which your thoughts come from. Yes. I'm going to keep going, church. Are you guys still with me? Okay. This is going to continue down this path, so stay with me. So in a way, Ephesians can actually be viewed as not just a first step in mind renewal, and then Romans would be the next step. What do I mean by that? As God reorients your consciousness, which is what Ephesians is addressing, and then in Romans you have thought. I don't want to look at it linearly. What I want you to look at it is an ecosystem. Which one comes first? I don't know, but I want the atmosphere of my mind to be renewed by him so my thoughts come out of that. And all of a sudden, it's an ecosystem, and that's the continuation of mind renewal. In Ephesians, this is about the source and the environment of which your thoughts come from. The inner climate where your thinking begins. The focus is on who or what animates your mind. What spirit, what wind, what current moves your inner life. So Ephesians 4:23 is about yielding. This is the key word. I want some of you to kind of hold on to this word for a moment. Instead of forcing good thoughts, only forcing good thoughts, I want you to now add to your repertoire, I'm going to yield my mind to him. I'm going to invite the Spirit of God to change the climate of thinking. I'm going to invite the Spirit of God into this space called conscious to create a different atmosphere so my thoughts begin to resonate with that. It's an act of yielding. In Romans, this is what happens once your inner reality changes. Here, the structure of the mind is rebuilt. Your patterns, your habits, your reflexes all change because of the climate of thoughts. Let me give you a couple of phrases that will help to see this from different angles. Ephesians is the wind. Romans is the architecture. Ephesians is the renewal of posture. Romans is the renewal of pattern. Ephesians is the spirit entering the atmosphere. Romans is the transformations of structure that live in that atmosphere. Okay? So let me sum it up a little bit. You can't renovate your thoughts until you've allowed the spirit to renew the air in which you think. One is behavioral and other is atmospheric. Renewal begins in the spirit of the mind, and then transformation happens through the renewing of the mind. The atmosphere of your mind is what creates thoughts that are renewed. Okay. Paul is not looking for another way to say, think new thoughts. Just think new thoughts. No, he's not just only saying that. He is saying, let the deepest orientation of your consciousness be shaped by the Spirit of God. I think for some of us, we think when we just force a good thought out, we're like, oh, that's the evidence of the Spirit of God in my life. I had the ability to actually create a good thought. Now, there's beauty in that. I think there's good discipline in that. But that's not what Paul is talking about in Ephesians. He's saying, yield yourself to his spirit. Let him change the atmosphere of thinking, atmosphere of your conscious. So that way, natural thoughts, good thoughts come out of that atmosphere. So sometimes we think, I create good thoughts. What Paul is actually addressing is the flip side of that. No, the Spirit of God changes the atmosphere in your mind, and out of that comes good thoughts. So instead of trying to live a life of just being good at generating good thoughts, live a life yielding to his Spirit. Live a life that is set, God, I want you to change my thinking. I want you to change the atmosphere inside this head of mine so thoughts that come out of that resonate with who you are. I want my spirit to be underneath and yield to the Holy Spirit. It's this intentionality. It's this relentlessness. And the challenge we have is all of us are looking for shortcuts. We're looking for how do I just make this happen? And I'm going to tell you right now, mind renewal is so slow. It's ridiculously slow. But guess what? It's sacred. And we talked about this last week and how our mind does not like to waste energy. So it will go to the fastest thoughts available. And oftentimes those are the ones rooted in fear, anxiety. Those are the thoughts that we go to because it's easy. Like, that's what it is. But if you want a mind renewal, you are now submitting yourself. You're yielding yourself to the slow, sacred journey of mind renewal. Romans focuses on the renewing the mind content. Ephesians focuses on renewing the mind spirit, the atmosphere and the origin of thought. And that's where the Spirit of God wants to meet you. The Spirit's not sitting there going, hey, Eric, I want you to think good thoughts. The Spirit saying, let me inside your conscious. Let me inside the spirit of your mind. Let me take domain in your heart. And once I begin to renew that atmosphere, then you won't have to conjure up a good thought. It'll actually naturally produce that thought. And that's what Paul is addressing in Ephesians, is he wants to be invited into the place where thoughts originate. Okay, I'm going to keep going if you're okay with that. In the biblical sense, consciousness is the modern language for what Scripture called the heart or the mind or the spirit of the mind. So some of you, the word conscious is too psychological for you. It's just a modern term to describe the spirit of the mind or the heart. It's the space where heaven and earth overlap, and it's where his spirit communes with our spirit. Now, what's fascinating about emotions is we all have them. It's amazing how fast emotions are. I don't even know if there's a miles per hour connected to it, but all I know is fast. I mean, I could be having a wonderful day, driving, and then I turn to Stone Avenue, and someone cuts me off. It's amazing how I can go from great day to how mad I get in milliseconds. That's how fast emotions are. And it's also amazing, I could be having a rough day, and Candace will say something to me or give me something or do something for me, and I move instantly from a bad day to, wow, this is a really good day. That's how fast emotions are. They're super fast. They're reactionary. And oftentimes we think those emotions are actually who we are. All they are, they're just fast reflexes to situations. So I want to talk a little bit about this. Every emotion is energy, but not every emotion carries truth. These emotions that you're feeling, it's just energy, it's just action, but it doesn't mean it's true. You may feel so scared in a certain moment, but it doesn't actually mean that's true. That is just an emotional response to the scenario. You may feel anxiety because something happens. It may feel as true can be, but guess what? It doesn't mean it's true. Some of you are looking at me like, wait a second, I know. Every thought is just data. It's just data, but not every thought deserves your agreement. The Spirit's role, the Holy Spirit's role is to interpret both. He's the counselor. He's the helper. He's the translator. He's the one that's able to help you discern what's actually going on. So emotions are fast and they're primal. It's the base of what it means to be human. It just reacts. I'm happy, I'm mad, I'm sad, I'm scared, I'm fearful, I got anxiety, I got anger. It's just instant. But that's not mind renewal. Mind renewal is slow and reflective. It's the ability to take a step back and go, wow, I have a lot of thoughts that are full of anxiety. It's stepping out of the emotion and going, wow, there's a lot of thoughts here that don't resonate with truth. Yeah. It's slow and reflective. So for some of us, now, if you don't know this about me, I have an immense amount of emotion. I just disguise it well. I as a child, I felt like an emotional tornado. Like I was constantly, I thought I was going to die. I had so many different thoughts. I live with so much deep emotion. I tell people I'm not sensitive. I just feel deeply. Don't laugh because that's the truth. I'm not sensitive. My wife said, "You're so sensitive." I said, I'm not sensitive. I just feel deeply. See her laughing right now? I love you too. She's the most logical person in my life, and sometimes it's really annoying. But I know it's what I need deeply, because sometimes I have a hard time getting outside of my emotion to look at it and go, that's crazy town. And she likes to go, that's crazy town. I don't know what you're thinking. So she's one of the life's greatest gifts to me is her. So emotions are fast and primal. Thoughts are slow and reflective. The ability to be slow and reflective. And the spirit reveals what's true and what's eternal. So renewed thinking rarely happens at the speed of emotion. It happens at the speed of attention. The part of our mind that is fast and emotional and effortless, we call that the automatic mind. It's just automatic. The renewed mind is slow, intentional, and costly. Yeah. A few more things, we'll wrap this up. When Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, he's actually describing a sacred neurological process to retraining your mind. It's not only all spiritual. There's actually physical elements to it, and there's thought elements to it. You're teaching your mind to spend energy on truth instead of conserving energy on fear. So I want to close with this. Whenever you have an emotion that is fast and loud, has no peace with it, guess what? This is an invitation to invite the Spirit of God into your conscious. It's also an invitation to interrupt this thought process by asking the Spirit of God, who created the universe with just a few words, to enter into your consciousness and renew your thinking. Here's a phrase that I want to just kind of put some words to what you can do when you're in the middle of thought processes, when the thoughts are firing, when things are just fast and reactive and reflexive. Say this, I'm going to be okay. I am choosing to get off this roller coaster of thoughts and acknowledge I'm feeling scared, anxious, whatever the word is. But I'm going to put in my RSVP for peace and truth and be present in this moment. So God, please show me the way forward because I long for your peace in this. Come up with a paragraph. Come up with a couple sentences that just get you to go, okay, I'm going to be all right. I recognize I'm dealing with this, but God, I am going to choose for your spirit to enter into my space and to reorientate my entire consciousness with your peace so that my thoughts moving forward resonate with that. It's you making the deliberate choice to be present long enough so the Spirit of God can change the atmosphere of your mind. It's you choosing to systematically, methodically create new rhythms over a period of time. You must remember mind renewal is slow and sacred work. I want to encourage you, develop new patterns in your life. If it's every morning, if it's at lunch, that night, but make it daily. Don't make it a once-a-month check-in. Make it daily. Some of you might be better to do it at the end of the day because then you could be aware of what kind of thoughts you had all day long. And some of you might be better to do it first thing in the morning to chart your course for the day. but take time to reflect, take a step back and observe what are the thoughts that are going through your mind. We have a good friend of ours. He was actually a senior pastor at the time. We were youth pastors and associate pastors. This was in a small town of 3,000 people in Weaverville, California. And he was, his name is Steve Backlund. Some of you might know him. If you don't know him, he's got a lot of great books out. But the one I want to highlight today is called Just Laugh at That. And when Steve first showed up in Weaverville, Danny and Sherry Silk had moved, and Steve and Wendy, his wife, came to take over the church, and he took over. And Steve is a very different man than Danny completely. Danny is family counselor. He's a relational expert. And Steve is a disciplined, almost robotic in how methodical and systematic he is in following God. And it's actually very refreshing because he just sticks to the plan and he continues. But he had this book called Just Laugh at That. And what he does, I remember when he started doing this to us, and at first it was a little cheesy. Sorry, Steve, if you hear this, but it was a little like, this feels kind of fake. It feels kind of cheesy. What he would do, he would get us in a room with our staff or with the leaders, and he would ask us, I want us to all take a turn and tell each other a lie that we have been believing in lately. And then once someone says it out loud, all of us are just going to laugh at that lie. And it was a little bit robotic and like, this is awkward. But I'll tell you what, without fail, it was absurd to hear what comes out of your mouth and the lie that you believe in. So sometimes you have to verbalize the thought that you have in your mind. And you all of a sudden go, that is so absurd. I cannot believe those thoughts are taking up residence in my mind. So we would take turns. And the thoughts would sound like this. I'm a bad leader. And then all of us would start laughing. So I'm going to practice with you. Okay. I'm going to practice with you. I am going to run out of money and God's not going to provide. Ha, 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 ha. All right, you guys are good. First service was a little confused. I am never going to be loved again. Anybody want to try? Anybody want to try to spit out a thought? I am a failure in my marriage. And so we would spend weekly, this became a new practice in our life, and it became a joy. Every time we do it, we would sit there and just laugh. And what does it do? It makes us more aware of the absurdity of lies that we believe in and have normalized. And it confronts that reality. But when you say it out loud with other people, it helps you to be more accountable to the people in your life. And I want to challenge you to move into a space where you're not just forcing yourself to have good thoughts, but you're actually inviting the Spirit of God to commune with your spirit in your conscience to change the atmosphere of thinking. And out of that flows new thoughts. Why don't we stand?
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.